We're on. All right.
We're on. Praise the Lord, folks.
Amen.
Yahoo.
Hey, I can turn over these guys, but is God good?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, there's a great song I hear one time. It's called God is Good All the Time.
Yep.
So, I'll let you guys take it away.
are those that serve the Lord.
Amen.
A lot of Christians wait. But if I go in a restaurant and I sit down at a table and I look over and I see the waiters sitting around and talking and goofing off, I'm going to leave. I'm going to get up and go somewhere where I can find somebody that will
wait
on me. And when you sing this song, remember, it's not talking about those that sit back and wait for God to move. It's talking about those who get up and serve God. I mean, why should you have to renew your strength if you're not doing anything?
Amen.
You don't need to renew your strength if you're not doing anything. It's when you're doing something that you have to renew your strength. That's Johnny back there. When he's out there working, he ain't smart enough to know when to quit. He could be 120 degrees out there. He's still walking and working and working and working. And it was all done. I'm tired. Well, I guess you are tired. If you weren't, I'd send you to the doctor and find out why not. And he goes and he prays. Am I right?
Amen.
He goes and he prays, and God renews his strength.
Amen.
If you want God to that is another sermon. If you want God to renew your strength, do something for him.
Amen.
And when you think that you can't finish it, do like the eagle does. When the eagle sees the storm coming, when the eagle sees the storm coming, he doesn't hide from the storm. He gets right out there on the edge of the cliff. He gets right out there on the edge of the nest. And he cocks his wings back and locks them in place. And when that wind hits, he leaps right into it. And the power of that wind and the strength of his wings shoots him up like a rocket. And when he gets above that wind and above that storm, he opens his wings and he sails. That's what you need to learn to do.
Amen.
That's what you need to learn to do. It's an awesome, awesome thing, but you've got to get to that place where you don't think you can go any further. And the storm is raging. And there's no way out except to run. But if you run, you'll never soar. If you run, you never experience God's goodness. You'll never experience that rising above and soaring with eagles. Jesus said, "Have no fear, I've overcome the world." If you be in Jesus, you're above the world.
Amen.
You sail above it. You're not caught down in the miry gunk. You sail above it. Let's sing it again.
Way upon the Lord.
Praise God. Y'all be seated. Now, I covered a lot of stuff last night. Covered a lot of stuff. And I want to go to chapter 17 of John tonight. And I want to hopefully tie this in with what we talked about last night. John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. I want to stop right there for a minute. If you stop and think about it, that's an interesting verse. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. See, Jesus knew that he couldn't glorify the Father except the Father glorify him. Because the only glory is the glory of God. The glory of man is nothing. It's nothing. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's like the flower of the grass. When the sun comes up, it withers, it's gone. But the glory of God is eternal. It's everlasting. It's forever and forever. And Jesus knew the only way he could glorify the Father was for the Father to glorify him. Now, if you want to glorify the Father, if you want to glorify the Son, you've got to be in a place where God can glorify you. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to be in a place where God can glorify you. And that place is that place of obedience and humility. Everybody say obedience. Say humility. Don't that feel good on your tongue? Doesn't it just make your heart feel all warm and fuzzy? It may not. But if you want to glorify the Father, you want to glorify the Son, you've got to be in a place where he can glorify you, that you may glorify him. See, we had a discussion with someone today. And it's something most people don't realize, that Jesus, when he was born, he was born every whit a man. Every whit a man. The difference is that he was not born of man. He was born of the woman, but his father was the Holy Ghost. And since it is the Father that gives the blood cell, he was born without sin. Now I want to see if you can grab this now, because when you're born, you are born with the blood of your father, which was born of the blood of his father before him, his father before him, all the way back to Adam. See, there were other seed other than Adam before Noah's flood. Because God created a people in chapter 1 and populated the earth with them. going to replenish the earth. And on the seventh day when God rested, time passed. And then he created a garden eastward in Eden, and there he formed a man from the dust of the earth. See, those men in chapter 1 were created. They were spoken into being. But Adam was formed from the dust of the earth. And God breathed life into him, and he became a living soul. Are you with me? All right. When Adam rebelled by eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, sin and death were created, came into being, came upon all flesh. And without going into all the details of how Cain and Abel's were only brothers by Eve, Cain was not the son of Adam. Abel was the son of Adam. Cain was not. Cain was the son of the devil. And he did as his father would do. And he rose up and killed his brother Abel. And then went forth, when God cast him out, he went where? To the land of Nod. What was the land of Nod named after? The people of Nod. And he took a wife from those people. Those people were of the people created in Genesis chapter 1. He wasn't. That wife was not his sister. I've had preachers try to tell me, well, you see, it was his sister. I said, really? My Bible said God never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet if that was his sister, then God's a liar. How can God be a liar? Because God is against incest. He said it's not to be done. Amen. If he said it was all right then and it's not all right then he has changed his mind. And if God has changed his mind, he's not the same. And if he's not the same, you can't trust him. How can you trust a God that one day says something's all right and the next day says it's not all right? Or how could you trust a God who says something's not all right but the next day says it is all right? You can't. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. He is the same. Forever. And ever. So, Cain kills his brother. He goes over to the land of Nod. He marries a woman. That's last year, pretty much. Then you come to the flood of Noah. Now remember, see, here's where people get confused. Adam said of Eve that she was the mother of all living. That was prophetic. He was speaking prophetically. She shall be called the mother of all living. Well, when the flood of Noah came along, the only people on that ark was the seed of Adam. Are you with me? So, because all those others were wiped out, the only seed left was Adam's seed. And we are all of Adam's seed. Our physical body. So, when you're born, or before you're born, let's say, when you're conceived, mother gives half, father gives half, the two become one, God gives a spirit, God gives a soul, boom, you have life. Simple thing. And what people don't realize is that little baby, even if it, when it's just one cell, the soul and the spirit are of full age. Full age. And that soul and that spirit are joined together as one. And that little baby can't see outside with its natural eyes because it ain't got none yet. Right? It hasn't been made yet. But it can see God. It can see the angels. It can see all the spiritual world. And then when that child is born, the word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword, comes down and divides the spirit from the soul, and that child is cut off at the moment of birth. Cut off. Now, think of how easy it would be to follow God. And now Adam couldn't do it, but it sure seems like it would be easier to follow God if you were in constant communications with his angels. If you could see God's angels standing around, you could see the Father on his throne, you could see the Christ, you could see all these things, it'd be a lot easier not to sin. Amen? I mean, you're out there at Walmart shopping with your wife, and she goes off down this other aisle, and a pretty little girl comes along. You saw four or five angels standing around, you wouldn't be looking at her the same, would you? And you ladies, you're walking down there at Walmart, you see the little shopping guy down there working the shelves. If there were four or five angels standing around him, you might look at him differently, right? It'd be easier. Didn't say we'd accomplish it, but it would be easier. Now, see, when Jesus was born, because he was not born of the seed of Adam, but of the woman, and the Father was the Holy Ghost, he had no sin. That sin of Adam was not passed on to him. So when he came out of his mother's womb, he never lost communion with the Father. You hear what I'm saying? He never lost communion with the Father. He always in communication, even on his mother's paps. He had communication. He said he gave him hope. So all through his life, all through his ministry, he was able to do only his Father's business because he was in constant communication with the Father through his Spirit. And the power and might of the Holy Spirit. Have I lost you yet? Are you still with me? All right. Now, when Jesus was on that cross, what's the word say? Cursed is any man who hangeth on a tree. When Jesus was hung on that cross, he became a curse. And for the first time in his experience, in his existence, he experienced what man experienced. Being cut off entirely from God. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That had to have been a thousand times worse than the beating he got in the temple and the spitting upon and the ridicule, the whipping and the beating. It had to be a thousand times worse. Because all that time he was still seeing the Father. He was still seeing the angels. And when they nailed him on that cross, he was still seeing the Father. He was still seeing the angels. But when they pulled that cross up and he hung on it, and that Word of God came to be, and he became that curse for you and for me, he was cut off, just like we are at birth. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We experienced that at birth. He experienced it at the end of his life. And had to trust the Father to raise him up. Amen. And is it a big thing then? Is it such a big thing that when he goes back to the Father and becomes one with the Father and the Holy Ghost, that he then would ask of us who receive him by faith, our souls reborn, our spirit is reborn, and then by faith, when we receive the Holy Ghost, would it be too much for him to ask us to glorify the Father as he did? To learn to exercise your senses that he's given you. The senses of the Spirit, that you may walk in his power and serve him to glorify him. Is that asking too much? So that the world can be saved? I'm going to paraphrase a thing, but Paul said something one day. He said, verily you got 10,000 teachers or instructors in Christ. And many flap their tater traps and tell you I'm not coming. But I come, be it the will of the Holy Ghost, and when I come, I don't come to hear the speech of those that are puffed up. I come to see their power. For the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of words, but a kingdom of power. Church, it's time you walk in the power. It's time. You gotta give this up. You gotta give up this flesh. You gotta give up your will so that you can walk in his will. Only when you give yourself up to him can you glorify him. Because it's by giving yourself up to him that you lay down the pride. You lay down all the things that hold you back, and you take on that humble servant attitude. And when you take on that humble servant attitude, then he can glorify you so you can glorify him. And he gives you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to use those that are over you, whether you like them or not. Whether they're of God or not doesn't make any difference. It gives you opportunity after opportunity to humble yourself to serve those over you. And by doing that, he can then use that to minister to others. Now, I thought I was going to go further. And I didn't even know I was going to go into this, but I thought I was going to go further, but I think this is a good spot to stop right now. Maybe the Lord will have me go further tomorrow. I don't know. But for right now, that's something for you to pray about. Amen?
Amen.
Steve, you got anything?
I had something, but I don't know that it, given what you've said, that it's... Well, I'll say this one thing quickly. Angerson, you know me.
That happened.
Angerson, let me share something with you. Because we sang that song, Wait Upon the Lord, right? And we talked about how, you know, why are you going to renew your strength if you're not doing anything? And when my wife came over, just before we got married, when she came over, we had to go through a few different things to kind of get things ordered right in the Lord before she came. And when she came, she arrived in Claremont, or was it Cornish Flat? It was Cornish Flat, New Hampshire. We were doing a revival, and she was staying in a camper that Davey had, and I was sleeping in the tent. And I was having coffee with her one day, and many of you have heard this. And Davey called, and he said, Steve. And I went running. And my wife asked me, about 3 hours later, because I didn't say goodbye and I didn't say anything, I just went. She asked me about 3 hours later, why, is it always going to be like this, she said. That was her question. Is it always going to be like this? And I thought about it for a moment and I said, yes. And she then said, but I thought it was first God, then your family. And I said to her, part of my service to God first is my service to my authority. And I told her, I said, it is from Him that the anointing that I have came. And I say that because if you look through the scriptures, one of the things the Lord just, I mean, somehow or other blessed me and showed me early on, but if you look at Joshua with Moses, you look at Elisha with Elijah, you look at Timothy with Paul, and really I think those are the three best examples you have in the scripture. But what you'll find is each of those younger men, many people had the opportunity, but each of those younger men decided to serve that older man. Joshua was called Moses' servant. Elisha left everything, burned the yoke of oxen, served Elijah, didn't even say goodbye to his parents. And Timothy, we know he left his estate and where he had been and went wherever Paul told him to be. And I share it with you because that concept of service is really key to getting the good things of the kingdom of God. And the way it's done in this fellowship is by a very simple thing that is biblical called discipleship. He was talking about how you have the opportunity to have authorities. You have authorities that are worldly authorities, and you have to submit yourself unto them, and you humble yourself in the process. You may not like it, but you humble yourself. But if you really want to grow in the Lord, submit yourself unto the authority that the Lord has given you and learn from them. Get all you can from them. And I'll tell you what, you will grow. You will grow mightily. So you guys come on up here.
God is here, and He has good things for us, but we have to lay aside all of that stuff. Dad tells a story about if you want more of God, you got to get less of yourself. He tells a story about a cup full of paper towels and trying to fill it with water. You can't get more water in it till you get the paper towels out. So we're going to sing a song, and it's He is Here, number 41. And God is here.
Amen.
God is here. Amen. I'm done.